Welcome to Better Together, a Vaishnava family podcast.
A podcast where we explore family life from a Bhakti Yoga perspective. We are your hosts. I'm Aksh.
And I'm Gopika. Welcome to episode 18, Making Gaura Purnima Matter. It's March! I feel like March in the Bhakti world is always associated with one of our most important holidays, Gaura Purnima, which is our new year. Mm-hmm. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I thought it could be a nice time to connect over how we want to make Gaura Purnima meaningful for us as a family this year and for our kids. So let me ask you this. What were your memories of learning about Lord Chaitanya and specifically celebrating Gaura Purnima as a young devotee kid?
I guess with learning about Lord Chaitanya, I guess as a kid, I don't know, you just take it at face value. This is someone who's a divine personality. This is Krishna in the Munda of Radha. And so there's very like esoteric explanations.
The catchphrases. Yeah.
And as a child, you just kind of accept them.
Yeah. Less.
Yeah. I don't think it really registered that deeply at the time. Maybe later, more in my later teens.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say for sure in terms of celebrating is that the holiday, it was like a big festival that wasn't big.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Big significance, but it wasn't always celebrated in like a big hall and in a big event venue type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think now when I was reflecting back on this, that was like the uneasiness. I wasn't like very clear because I would always keep hearing that message that this is the most important festival of the year.
Yeah.
And that, but then actually growing up in America.
Yeah.
I didn't see it necessarily celebrated at the same level as Krishna Janmashtami or Diwali.
100%.
Or any of these festivals that might attract more of a broader
base.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally can relate to what you're saying. I felt confused about Gaura Purnima for many different reasons. It is one of our most important holidays. Yet, if you had an Indian friend, nobody knows who Lord Chaitanya is at all. Even many visitors at the temple, of course, ISKCON of New Jersey, our presiding main deities are Sri Sri Gauranithai, not Radha Krishna or...
Yeah.
You know, even Jagannath, which is a bit more universal, I would say, well-known, related to. In our family, even, if we were like, oh, we're celebrating Gaura Purnima, no one knows what Gaura Purnima is. Then we'd be Guru like, oh, it's holy. Guru Purnima? No, a different month. But then it'd be like, oh, okay, it's also the same day as holy, which is like the colors thing, which is now widely known. And now it's even more mainstream. Yeah. Culture, right? Holy. So yeah, definitely confusion. And then I would say to pile on top of the confusion, as kids, our connection to Lord Chaitanya was often through dramas. And if you were a little kid, you would be doing a drama about Lord Chaitanya as a little kid. I mean, the stories were really cute. You know, Little Nimai and the Thieves. Little Nimai won't stop crying until all the ladies of Nadia sing Hare Krishna.
Little Nimai and the Brahmin, right?
Yes, the Brahmin stealing the offering, Jagai Madai, and Chan Kazi. So not all Little Nimai pastimes, but those were like the famous ones.
Right.
Every festival, you'll see some group of kids doing some combination of those. But I don't feel they helped me to really connect to Lord Chaitanya in any way. It was just like, okay, we're celebrating Gaura Purnima, we're celebrating Lord Chaitanya, Gauranithai are like the main deities on our altar. I don't really understand how they relate to Krishna. I know Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, but not everybody believes that. Not everybody knows that. It's weird. And then people also play holi. And then there was also a yajna. I don't know if you guys did this because it was like holi, which is the colors, but also the day signifies holika. The day that Holika was burned and the story of Prahlad. And so they would do a yajna. I don't know, you'd have to like offer popcorn or something. Like my mom would always make this specific type of popcorn for this yajna on Gaura Purnima. Put that all together.
Not to make it even more confusing than it is.
And then go to the temple for Abhishek and Girtan and all of this. So like that was my Gaura Purnima and Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah. No, I relate to a lot of that. And yeah, I also did, you know, a lot of the dramas. I mean, I remember getting more appreciation for Lord Chaitanya through some of the dramas, for sure.
Like, in what ways, though? How did the dramas make you feel connected to Lord Chaitanya? Because I'm curious about that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we go from this place of confusion as child, and now we're adults, we're as parents. I definitely feel way differently now. But I'm just wondering, for you, what did that journey look like? How did you find your personal connection to Lord Chaitanya?
I would say through dramas and through kirtan, but at a specific time in my life. It was when I was, you know, junior, senior in high school, maybe even early college. You know, at that time, just reflecting more on why I do this.
Mm-hmm.
I was also very inspired by Ayendra Prabhu and kirtan scene. And you could say that Lord Chaitanya's primary message was about bringing these divine names and making them available to everybody through mantras. So for me, appreciating kirtan meant appreciating Chaitanya and the movement in that sense.
Yeah.
And then from the dramas, it was interesting because at that time, I actually was writing dramas from scratch. That actually made me understand what was happening in the story. And I remember just starting to like understand Lord Chaitanya's character as he was navigating these situations in life and how he was Krishna himself, you could say, but also an exemplary devotee in the way that he behaved. And that starting to touch me. You know? But it was only because I was really invested in the actual play that I was you know, helping direct. Otherwise, usually when I would act or, you know, watch something, it was very much superficial, my engagement with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that makes sense. You're the type of person that if you're creating something, you go like 1 million levels deep in it. But that's nice that you were able to find that connection through exploring the stories a little bit more.
Yeah. What about you? When was there a time when that shift started to happen for you?
I would say in college was when the shift started to happen. And I can actually remember a moment where I was really struggling with it. And we were in Bhakti Club and we were, I would say, really trying to explore our faith and have a genuine connection with it. And I had a block with Lord Chaitanya. Like, I just couldn't understand his place in the whole thing. Like, I just was not able to connect to him. I felt like I had a relationship with Krishna and I could understand Krishna as God and protector and friend. But Lord Chaitanya, I just couldn't spark that connection. And I actually asked this question to Bhakti Charuswami at one of his retreats because I was bearing such guilt about the fact that I was a Gaudiya Vaishnava technically, but I just couldn't connect to one of the biggest parts of our philosophy. I just couldn't figure it out. And I was like, is it okay if I don't feel like I have a relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And I just like focus on Krishna. And his answer was so, in some ways, surprising, but also it kicked my butt a little bit to explore deeper, because his answer was basically like, you can't just demand a relationship with Krishna. Just because you feel you're connected to Krishna, like, you can't just bypass and cut out and, you know, do whatever you want. And, oh, I'm just going to skip Lord Chaitanya and have a relationship with Krishna. And of course, you can debate the answer to that question. I'm sure there's many ways to look at it. But I do believe that when you ask a question, especially to somebody who is so deeply connected to Krishna, that the answer that you get at that moment is really meant for you to hear at that time. So I was taken aback a little bit. I started to like dig deeper into why and how I could find a connection that felt real to me and not just like obligatory because I was in this movement. So I would say the connection started to come when I understood the message of Lord Chaitanya and who he was in relation to the world issues. Like that was my bridge for me. For example, I started my teaching career in Teach for America, where I was really thrown into the deep end, into the world about opportunity gaps and racism and prejudice and bias and understanding how much people are really discriminated against, especially people of color, especially Black and Latino people, to be specific. And I feel like I was shielded against this in my upbringing. Mm. Really, no one ever talked about it. And also, when you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava and you believe in the soul, it's almost like, don't talk about racism because everyone's a spirit soul, so it's not valuable enough to talk about. So I think I was not so connected to it. But when I started understanding the historical context of what was happening and what he did, like, okay, yes, he was the Kirtan champion, but how much discrimination was happening to people in India at the time?
Yeah.
And how Lord Chaitanya actively battled that.
Yeah.
I really began to connect to that so deeply. Mm. And I felt like, yes, I can be a soldier in this army, because I felt like connected to these deeper values opposed to just like believing in a loving God.
Right.
It was like empowering to learn about Lord Chaitanya in this way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, it's interesting to hear you say that now, because a lot of times when I hear you talk about Lord Chaitanya, you always explain him in that sense.
Yeah.
And now it makes sense to me that that was the spark for you.
That was my spark.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that opened the door for me to feel just so embraced as a unique individual, because I'll be honest, I grew up as a young girl who had a bit of a sassy personality.
Mm.
I still have a sassy personality, wouldn't you say? I felt like I always really struggled with this part of myself, and being in a predominantly Indian community where there's a lot of mixing of values and confusion of how women should be and a lot of messiness there. It was just like, is it wrong with me that I'm like this, that I'm like bold and I'm outspoken and I'm opinionated? The fact that Lord Chaitanya not only battled inequality and prejudice and discrimination, but when I started connecting the dots of how much he valued diversity, right? That really spoke to me so deeply. You know, the fact that every single person can find a place in this movement and have a connection and an opportunity. That just felt like, I belong here. Yes, I can relate to this. I can advocate for this. I can represent this genuinely.
Mm.
I wonder if my relationship is opposite now. I feel like my faith on a deeper level, I feel very connected with Lord Chaitanya, because I feel his role in our tradition makes me feel so totally at home in this movement.
Mm. Wonderful. I was actually thinking of this question. If we were to describe Gaudiya Vaishnavism in one word, what would that be?
Wow. Pop quiz? I'm not prepared for this. So tell me your answer first, because you clearly have a word.
Inclusivity.
Yeah. Love that.
So I can see this in a few ways. Firstly, the mantra was made available to everybody. That was something groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah.
So that's, I would say, ritual inclusivity.
Yeah.
Then what you were getting at, so many different types of people that were encouraged, accommodated. Someone who was of the highest caste, someone who was the lowest caste, men, women, animals.
Yeah.
Different personalities.
Yep.
Different people in different stages of life and mm-hmm. ashramas. So social inclusivity. And then the other unique aspect is really trying to marry together the non-personal or Advaitic view, not rejecting it, but building on it to also integrate it with the personalist view in a way to attempt to harmonize, which I would call now philosophical inclusivity.
Yeah.
And then the last one, bhakti inclusivity. The word bhakti literally means to share.
Yeah.
Because it's taking this idea of an intimate relationship in the most intimate sense.
Yeah.
And making it the most
accessible.
Accessible. These four ways you could describe inclusivity, like for me, or what make it unique.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I feel like the underlying thread, though, it was also like love. Like there was so much love.
Yeah.
That Lord Chaitanya gave. And I'll say this as a caveat, though, because as loving and accepting as Lord Chaitanya was, I feel there's like a realness about him, because there are some pastimes that are very confusing, right? Mm. For this loving, accepting, everyone is welcome incarnation of God. You see Lord Chaitanya many times reject people,
mm-hmm.
not allow people, not associate with people. And so it's very confusing. But what I love about it actually is it's real. How you can genuinely be inclusive and loving in a human world full of different personalities and social norms and complexities is messy. It's not like a kumbaya thing, like everyone love each other and accept each other. Mm. That doesn't exist. Mm. And if that were the case, if Lord Chaitanya was like a kumbaya personality, that would be cool, but it would almost feel like unreal. But the fact that there was such a realness about him, and that gives us an opportunity to really like unpack how you can actually act in the spirit of loving and accepting one another. And it doesn't always look all lovey-dovey, you know? Mm. If you get my drift.
Yeah. I was going to say that sometimes something doesn't look inclusive.
Right.
In the way that maybe we expect it to.
Yeah.
But then as we probe deeper or as we go further into the story, we realize actually it is inclusive.
Like an easy example is King Prataparudra.
Yeah. He was, you could say in one sense, you know, rejected.
Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya being a renunciate of his time. The social norm was for such folk to not interact with people in government, in politics. Even though this king was a very spiritual person, he still denied him the opportunity to meet him. However, later on, we realize actually he got the most special of inclusive moments.
Yeah, but there's like many instances like that. Yeah. Where it causes you to have to unpack.
Yeah, sure.
And go deep to try to understand how one can actually find all inclusivity and all love in all circumstances. Because it's not straightforward.
Mm.
And I love that.
Mm.
That is something that I have come to discover. I didn't always understand as a child. But as an adult, the realness of it feeds my faith.
Mm.
So tell me this.
Yeah.
What do you feel like are some practical ideas for younger children to connect with Lord Chaitanya? I would venture to guess that perhaps many of them are just as confused as we were deeply, you know, maybe they know the surface level stuff, but is there a way that we could share Lord Chaitanya with younger children that could help them to start connecting to this deeper stuff earlier on?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess certainly stories and dramas, you know, can be very helpful.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to caveat the dramas because I think it's not just doing a drama or a puppet show.
Yes.
It's the way in which it's framed. I'll just give one example because I feel like maybe it would be helpful. But our youth put on a children's Skor Purnima festival a few years ago, and one group of kids actually wrote a puppet show.
Mm-hmm.
But we challenged them to make the stories relatable to the lives of the, I think, 8 to 12-year-olds. They started by brainstorming issues of 8 to 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they came up with things like body image or feeling left out or not feeling accepted for their religion or feeling like pressure academically also feeling like intellectually not smart enough. Like very real issues that kids have.
Yeah.
And then they went in to Lord Chaitanya's life and with some support were able to find examples of Lord Chaitanya pushing back against those issues that they might face. For example, for the intellectual pressure, they shared the story of Lord Chaitanya and the Brahman reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down. And for the body consciousness, body awareness, it was Lord Chaitanya and the leper. And for religious acceptance, of course, it was Chankazi, which is a famous one.
Mm-hmm.
But they framed it like a grandmother talking to a student.
Yes.
Asking this question of, how can Lord Chaitanya help me with the problems in my life?
Yeah.
And so when it's framed like that, then children can start to see the amazingness of Lord Chaitanya's character. Mm. Otherwise, it's like, okay, cool. He's like this saint, this really divine, esoteric personality. How does he connect to me?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's, I think there's stories that tend to be like entertaining and fun, and you take maybe a lesson here or there.
Yeah.
But when they're framed in that way where the thrust of the play is something that is directly relevant in the audience's life, what you're describing, I mean, it was amazing. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
Yeah. Like being thoughtful about the stories we're selecting also for our young children.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to learn those little Nimai pastimes. They're fun. They're cute. Alongside that, can we include something that will help our kids connect to the depth of Lord Chaitanya at his core and how he relates to us as humans, you know?
Yeah. And to that point, by dramas, I was referring to these kinds of stories that get at that.
Yeah.
Right? Even the story of Lord Chaitanya and the animals in the forest and how he engages them. And then the other story of Lord Chaitanya and Kolabicha Sridhar.
Yeah.
It's like a very sweet meeting of friends and of someone who's so poor.
Right,
you know,
right.
Yet so rich in his heart. I think these are really powerful stories. But unfortunately, like traditionally, I don't know, I can tell you how many times that I was part of performing Jagai Madai pastime.
Yeah.
And I think maybe for adults that one really speaks to
mercy.
The compassion of, you know, Lord Chaitanya and his brother specifically. But I don't know as a child how much you can relate to it.
It's also scary.
It's
like
scary.
I was actually trying to tell Kishore the story.
Yeah.
The other day, and I felt myself having to edit a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit violent and Lord Chaitanya is actually about to kill somebody. Like, it's just like, for a little kid, I can see how it could be really confusing.
Yeah.
And then we like worship this person on our altar. It's just so hard to relate to, I would say, for a little one.
Yeah.
And I would also say, I think people think that these bigger societal issues are great for the youth and the teenagers and the young people to connect. But I would also push back on that and say that these pastimes actually give us such a powerful opportunity to plant seeds for bigger concepts. Like, we can actually utilize the life of Lord Chaitanya to help them start understanding these very real issues of life that sometimes they actually don't learn about or they don't have conversations about.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, biases and prejudices develop. You know, I'd be always citing psychology research. Babies can recognize different races by about 3 to 6 months of age. And children can develop racial biases between the ages of 3 to 5. That's young.
Yeah.
So to like start having some of these conversations about injustice and prejudice and how we want to treat other people and how other people are treated in the world, even if we don't explicitly see it, and our role in that, I feel like it's an opportunity with Lord Chaitanya to start understanding some deeper tenets of this, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I really love that.
Any ideas in specific you want to do with our kids this year that stick out?
I think we should definitely do one of these stories.
Yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun.
I was thinking that.
And I was thinking that we've got to figure out a craft.
Yes.
Our son has been into crafts majorly lately, so he's basically taping his whole wall up with crafts.
Construction paper. I love that point, right? Like thinking also about what your kid is into in the moment.
Yeah.
And can we find a way to connect that with Lord Chaitanya? And I feel like there is a way. I know I always shout out Tulsi, but she's just so talented. One year, she and I did the children's Guru Purnima. And she made this amazing felt storyboard. So she told the story of Lord Chaitanya in the Jarikanda forest with all the animals.
Yeah.
And she had, and our kids were toddlers. We're talking about like 2 years old here. She had our two-year-olds be like sticking up the animals and roaring and being elephants and tigers, and how Lord Chaitanya shared with each one of them. And I just thought that was such a connecting way, even for two-year-olds, you know, like to interact with the story, to understand, because two-year-olds are into animals and animal sounds, right? Toddlers. And also understand Lord Chaitanya, and also a deeper message of inclusivity and love for all things. I love that as an idea. This was a nice chat. I enjoyed connecting about Lord Chaitanya. It was really nice.
And I feel like I learned more about your personal link to him, and helps me to understand why you express in the way that you do, and can also see why I express in the way that I do, because how it resonated for me. So
it just brings me back to this universal idea that we see our world is so often shaped by our past story. And so sometimes understanding each other's story can help us appreciate how we see the faith, because you and I are so different with how we relate to Krishna consciousness, I feel like. But again, the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, someone like you and someone like me can somehow get married and be able to work together on something, right?
Make Lord Chaitanya matter.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. And if you are listening, please do reach out. Please message us. We would love to hear your reflections and thoughts. What is your connection to Lord Chaitanya, and how did you uncover that? Would love to hear your stories. Honestly, hearing from you is the best part of this podcast for us, is just finding that connection with all of you. Have a great night, and we will see you on our next episode. To all those celebrating, happy Guru Purnima. Hare Krishna, everybody.
Hare Krishna.